Good morning, folks. It's so great to get together once again to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And though I can't see your faces, I imagine that you're smiling and that you're full of joy and anticipation as you think about Jesus, about his salvation that he gave you, about the blessings that he gives you day by day. And I just pray that this will be a time when you and he will be blessed. You will worship him. He will speak to your heart. He will minister to your needs. Just a great time to be in God's house and in God's presence. We're so glad that you've joined us, whether you join us in the parking lot or whether you're listening on the web at some time later. We're so glad that you've joined us. Let's pray. Lord, it's good to be in your house. It's good to worship you and to praise you. And though we're not together in person, we're together in the Spirit, and we're together in you. Father, as this little chorus says, we are one in the bond of love. And it is the bond of love of the Lord Jesus Christ that draws us together. Father, we love you. We praise you. We honor you, for thou art holy and worthy, glorious and mighty. And Father, we dedicate this next hour to you. We dedicate our whole lives to you, Father, but this next hour is a special moment of dedication as we give ourselves to worship, to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, to be changed, to be encouraged, to be directed, to be taught. And Father, we thank you for doing that in the name of our wonderful Savior Jesus. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. I want to
recognize our birthdays for the month of February. I'm running just a week late to getting started with that. So we want to recognize our birthdays and also our anniversaries for the month of February. First, we'll recognize our birthdays. Jeff Keplinger, February the 5th. Sorry we're late a little bit, Jeff, and we'll send a great big belated happy birthday to you. Tim Smith, February the 8th. Candace Louder, February the 12th. McCord Barbie, February the 21st. And Betty Davis, February the 27th. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. And our anniversaries for the month of February have one, Wesley and Angie Barbie, February the 14th. All right, let's have some special music now. We're going to feature Tonda this morning. Tonda is one of our team members as we work with the webcast and as we did our special services here during COVID. And she and Kathy were always faithful. And my goodness, we're going on almost a little over a year now, seems like. It will be this month doing this. So, but we recognize this morning, and let's listen to Tonda as she sings one of my favorite, Holy Ground.
As I walk through the door, I sensed his presence, and I knew this was the place where love abounds. For this is the temple, Jehovah God Almighty, where we are
but also the love is amazing. We know we have that love.
In His presence there is joy beyond all measure.
All the people said amen. What a beautiful song. What a beautiful song. Indeed, we are standing in His presence. I have some announcements for you this morning to pass along to you. Services will continue as we're doing now with the 99.1 10 o'clock webcast, radio cast, and then we'll do the webcast at 12:30 for you, those of you who do not make the parking lot service. Our Pregnancy Gifts Resource Center offering is at 185, and this Sunday is the last Sunday, and I know that God will lead, and we'll do better than 185. So you all keep praying for the great work that these people do. And that's all the announcements I have for this Sunday, February the 7th. Now we go to our prayer request and prayer list. Let's remember Tonda and Gary Hamilton. Gary has been tested positive with the COVID virus, but we talked to last night, and Gary is not experiencing any severe problems from it right now, any reaction to it. He is just a minor right now, and we praise God from that. As a matter of fact, Gary still has his great sense of humor, and he said that Tonda had him on a pizza and pancake diet. That was the only thing she could slide under the door. And so if you know Gary, Gary's all right. He's going to be fine. And we praise the Lord for the fact that he's going to be fine. Let's remember PJ Swan. That's Charlene's mom. And she is still in a coma in Charlotte from a brain aneurysm. Let's remember her. Tom Cruel. Let's remember him. He is Stacy and David's son-in-law. Tom has been tested as well positive with the COVID virus. Pat Burgess. Pat Burgess is back in North Carolina now and is at Bethany Woods. However, Pat is not going to be able to come home and right now because she's still unable to walk. So she is in therapy and rehab at this particular time. So let's keep Pat and her in our prayers. Some praise reports. We talked to Nell Jackman. Nell's doing fine, doing much better. We praise the Lord for her and that she's doing well. Shirley Edwards has recovered from the COVID virus and said this, she got out yesterday for the first time in 7 weeks she left home. So praise God for Shirley's being better from the COVID virus. So that's all the prayer requests and praises I have for this morning. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for another Lord's Day you've given us. And Lord, you've given us to be able to come here and to be able to lift you up in praise. Lord, we thank you for your many, many blessings you give us. But Lord, we do have those who are still hurting. We still have those, Lord, who need you, need your touch, and need your healing. And we want to lift them up to you now, Lord, in prayer. We pray for now for Gary Hamilton. We pray for Tonda as she'll be caregiving as he has the COVID virus. We pray for healing for his body. We pray for P.J. Swan this morning. We lift her up to you, Lord, as she battles the brain aneurysm. And then, Lord, we pray for Tom Cruel, Lord, this morning as he has the COVID virus. We pray, Lord, that his reaction to the virus will be minimum as it is now. But, Lord, we pray for him and lift him up to you. We pray for Pat Burgess as she's back at Bethany Woods. And we pray for her this morning that she will have strength and be able to walk again. And then, Lord, we have a praise reports. We thank you, Lord, for Nell and for Shirley Edwards. And, Lord, we just want to pray now, Lord, for our service today. We pray for Pastor Ed as he'll come forward now and lift us up in song, in prayer, and also in praise in your word. And, Lord, we pray for the song services that we've had already. We thank you for Tondon, Lord. We thank you for the music that we have. And now, Lord, we ask, Lord, that you go with us now further in this service today. And these blessings I pray in your name. Amen. We have a song of praise this morning. The song of praise this morning is actually a prayer. And it's the model prayer. People call it the model prayer. The Bible, it is the Lord's Prayer. So pray along and sing along with us as we sing the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
His kingdom, his power, his glory forever and ever and ever. And one of the favorite verses that you heard me quote so many, many times, one day there's coming a moment when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Oh, it's so good to be here to worship again. Thank Wes for coming each week and putting us on the air, and for Leonard coming and leading the music and making the announcements. And Thank you for listening. Thank you those who share their musical gifts. Couldn't do it without you. You know, if I were doing the singing, they'd probably shut down the whole website and the radio waves as well. And I just praise the Lord that there are those that are willing to share their musical gifts with us. Today, let's go first to the book of Luke. Now, that's not going to be our main focus, but it's going to give us a good place to get started. In Luke 17, Luke chapter 17. And verse 3, 4, and 5 is what I want to use really as the introduction to what I want to feel led of the Lord to say today. In verse 3 of Luke 17, take heed to yourselves, if thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. If he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn to thee and say, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Jesus just told them to do all of this forgiving. And he said, Lord, we're going to have more faith if we're going to do that. How many times did the apostles, those original disciples of the Lord Jesus, imply that he was holding out on them? You know, Lord, if we just had more faith, we could do this and we could do that, but Lord, we just don't have enough faith. I guess, you know, they were, in a sense, they were saying, Lord, we'd be better followers. We'd be better believers. We'd be better disciples if you'd just give us more faith. Now, have you ever felt like the disciples that felt that day? Most of us have. I'd be a better Christian if I had more faith. I'd be a better witness if I had more courage. I'd be a better teacher if I had more biblical knowledge. I'd be a better example if I just had more backbone. I'd be a better follower if I just felt more love toward the unlovely. How often we feel inadequate, that is, as if something were lacking. Oh, we know we're a Christian, we know we're saved, we know we're going to heaven, but we just feel inadequate, like the disciples felt. But now what did Jesus tell them? Look at verse 6. The Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it would obey you. In other words, Jesus said, it doesn't take a lot of faith. You just have to use the faith you have. You have to use the faith that you have. It's not just how much you have, it's whether or not you're using what you have. And so I think the Lord would say also to us, are you using what I've given you? Now with that in mind, I want us to look at a scripture in 2 Peter chapter 1 that may be a shock to you. If you've never read it, never studied it, it may come as a shock to you. 2 Peter chapter 1. And we'll start at verse 1 and look at several different things in that chapter, first few verses of that chapter. And if you, as I say, if you've never really studied that chapter, it might come sort of as a shock to you. Simon Peter, a servant, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us. Peter says, hey, you've got the same faith I have. We think of Peter and the other disciples as men of great faith, especially after the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came into their lives in a powerful way. And Peter, who had denied the Lord just a few days before, could stand up and preach and 3,000 people get saved. And Peter could go to prison and they planned on executing him the next day and he slept like a log. Angel had to wake him up, sort of kick him to wake him up and get him out of there. Peter had great faith and he says, you have like precious faith just like we've got. Now that might shock you to think, I have the same faith like Peter. Now how did he say we get it? Through the righteousness of God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. He doesn't say through your hard work, through your intelligence, through your money, through your good looks. That faith came to you through the righteousness of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a given faith. That is a faith that is imparted to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. We didn't earn it. We didn't merit it. It's His merit, His righteousness that gives us faith. He goes on to say in verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied to you. He said, you're going to need grace in this world. You're going to need peace. And it's been multiplied, not added, not a little dab, not a little bit, not less than you need, but grace and peace has been multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, the more and better we know the Lord Jesus Christ, the more peace and the more grace we're going to walk in. Those who know Him little walk in a lot of turmoil. Those who know Him better walk in less turmoil. Those who know Jesus in an intimate way walk in grace and peace. Then, in verse 3, Peter gives us some news. It really, you know, astounds me when I think about it. According as His divine power has given unto us. He says, God's divine power, the dynamite of God, the God who spoke the word and a universe was created, the God who parted the Red Sea, the God who parted the Jordan River, the God who raised Jesus Christ from the dead, through His divine power, He has given unto us all things. All things that pertain to life and godliness. Notice that little qualifying word there, all things. He says, God has given to you everything you need pertaining to your life and your godliness. Now think about it. Is God inadequate in any way? Well, I know, preacher, He's perfect. He's powerful. He's wisdom. Well, that same God that you just said was perfect and powerful and wise came to live within you when you became a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when He came to dwell within you, then everything you need for life and godliness became yours and it dwells in you. Everything we need to live a victorious, powerful, glorious Christian life has already been given to us. When we're saved and when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we have all we need. Now, each of us have some different needs according to our spiritual gifts and according to our talents. I joked a few moments ago about the music. Those of you that have musical abilities, God has given you all that you need as a musician to be a blessing to His kingdom. Those of you that He called to be teachers, God has given you all that you need. All that you need to be a good godly teacher. Those He calls to be pastors, He's given us all that we need. Now, we need to remember Paul's description or illustration in the book of Corinthians where he talks about the body of Christ. Where he says, you know, some are eyes and some are ears and some are hands and some are feet and we all need one another. And so it is that your part in the body of Christ may be different from my part in the body of Christ, but God has given you all you need to be your part in the body of Christ. And you are totally adequate according to what Peter has just written to us. He's given to us all through his divine power everything that we need that pertains to life and godliness. We feel inadequate. We have all that we need. I was thinking about this in the realm of tools. Now, I'm not much handy with tools, but I've got a number of tools scattered around the house in the outbuilding in different places. And my wife could hardly ever find what she wanted when she wanted it. So she went out one day years ago and bought her a little pink tool kit. It's got a hammer. It's got a pair of needle-nose pliers. It's got two straight-edge screwdrivers of two different sizes and two little pointed-edge screwdrivers of different sizes. And I think it had a measuring tape and a level in it. Now, that tool kit's real adequate for a lot of things, and I use it probably more than she does because it's easier and it stays right there at a place that we can find. But you know, if I take my truck down to the dealership to be worked on and I pull in the service bay and the guy's got a little pink tool kit, I'm not going to have much confidence in him. I'm looking for some guy with one of those big red chests that's about head high, that's just loaded with tools, if he's going to work on my truck. Well, I don't know whether what God has called you to do, you need a little pink tool kit or you need a great big chest full of tools. But I guarantee you, whatever you need, God has given you. God has given you. How is he given? He says, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. God has given all of this to us through our knowledge of Jesus. The more we know Jesus, the more we live in victory, and the more we live an overcoming life. Now, he goes on in the next verse or so to tell us about some of the wonderful things that are given to us and that are a part of this, what pertains to life and godliness. Verse 4, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. He says you have great and precious promises. I know I think some of you may feel like I'm a broken record, but I keep saying, go to your Bible, study your Bible, look at all the promises of God. God has given you so many wonderful, great, precious promises. Learn them. Stand on them, believe them, practice them. The Bible is full of them. There are dozens of them, hundreds of them. And they're for you, child of God. Use those promises, great promises, precious promises. And he says, as a result of the promises that God has given you, you become partakers of the divine nature. It doesn't mean you become God, but you become more and more like God. You develop love, holiness, wisdom. We'll talk a little more about some of these in just a moment, but you know, you can be around a believer and you don't have to be around them long, where you can begin to see how much of God's in them, how much of God has been allowed to develop in them. When you see love versus hate or prejudice or bitterness, when you see holiness versus unholiness or impurity, whether you see wisdom versus foolishness. He says not only that, but he says you have escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Isn't that great? We can escape. We don't have to live like the world. We don't have to live a sinful life. We don't have to live an ungodly life. We can live a life that is growing in purity and holiness. Now, when I see somebody and they say, I'm a Christian, and there's a whole lot of unholiness in their life, a whole lot of corruption in their life, whether it's in their language or their actions or their attitudes, you begin to wonder, do they really know Jesus? He says, you have the precious promises. Because of that, you have the divine nature. And because of that, you escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. And then he goes on in the next couple of verses and says, because of all of this, you have the ability to grow in your relationship with the Lord and to grow in your modeling the Christian life, living the Christian life. Now, in verse 5, he said, besides this, giving all diligence, add. Now, we'll look at what add first in a minute, but notice, you have to be diligent. That means you got to work at it. You have to work at it. We all know what the word diligent means. It means we've got to be working. We've got to be serious. We've got to be on task. We have to be purposeful. We have to be really, really diligent. Now, we have those, as I said a moment ago, we have different spiritual gifts. We have different talents. We have different abilities that God has planted in us. But then we need to be diligent and developing those. I remember reading about a man who was, as a teenager, very, very sick. But he knew the Lord had called him to preach. And when he started getting better, he got his grandma's Bible. I don't think he had one of his own at that time. And he started writing sermons. He said he never was able to preach but one of them, but he became diligent in writing sermons, and eventually he became one of the most renowned Bible teachers that I've ever heard. But he worked at it. He worked at it. One of the things that surprised me, you know, being a retired and then unretired preacher, was that the Lord won't let me go back to my filing cabinet and just get up here every Sunday and read you something that I wrote 40 years ago. I've got filing cabinets full of messages. The Lord says, Ed, you can't do that. You need a fresh word for a new people, and you have to be diligent about it. He said, and in your diligence, you add. Now, what are you going to add? He said, first, you have your faith, so add to your faith virtue. Add to your faith virtue. Now, we all have some faith. The Bible talks about we're being given the measure of faith, and without faith, it's impossible to please the Lord, and you had to have faith to get saved. So faith is a starting point. Faith is a starting point. And then he said, to that faith, add virtue. Well, that means excellence, integrity, courage. You ever have a person that you worked with and you assigned them a task and you knew they're going to mess it up? They weren't going to work at it. There was no excellence. And you almost develop the attitude, if I want it done right, I've got to do it myself. Folks, we shouldn't be that way. As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, whether we're a pastor, whether we're a teacher, whether we're a deacon, on our job, our secular job, in our home, we need to strive for excellence. So that, especially if we're working with non-believers, they will look at us and say, if I want something done right, I can assign that job to so-and-so. and they call your name. And they know that because you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to do it right. And he says, you start out with your faith and you add to it a striving for excellence. Now, let me say that on all of these things that we're going to mention, between this side of glory, we're never going to reach 10 out of 10. But we need to be growing and growing and growing so that if we're 1 out of 10 at a starting point on virtue, we get to be 3 out of 10 and 4 out of 10 and 5 out of 10 and 7 out of 10, so that over a period of time we become more and more in every one of these characters. And then he says, add to virtue knowledge, clear thinking, wise, godly thinking, understanding the things of God. Knowledge. Knowing the Lord. It's so refreshing to be somebody, or to be around somebody, to be around somebody that walks in the knowledge of the Lord. And the words that they speak just drip wisdom and direction and guidance and peace because of the knowledge of the Lord. And then he says, to knowledge, add temperance. Ah, strength, self-control. And it's in a lot more areas than this. You know, we used to, years and years ago, there were the temperance societies that tried to do away with alcohol. Still a good idea, but temperance means being self-controlled under a lot of things. It means, you know, people anger you, but you hold your tongue. People mistreat you, but you treat them right instead of retaliating. You have yourself under control. What was that scripture that we used last week where Paul said he brought his body under control so that at the last he didn't become a castaway? How many at one point were mightily used of God, but they lost it because of a lack of self-control? And then he says to temperance, add patience. Patience. And that's not just sitting on a cloud waiting and doing nothing. Patience is an endurance, a stick-to-itiveness. If God doesn't answer my prayer today, I still believe that he promised and he'll answer. If I'm praying for someone and they don't get saved immediately, I keep praying for them. If I'm witnessing to someone, I keep witnessing. And when you combine these things, a thought comes to my mind, maybe you teach a little Sunday school class. And there's only 3 or 4 kids in that class. And you're tempted just to give it a hit and a miss, a lick and a promise. But no, you teach that class with excellence. And it looks like sometimes those kids aren't getting it. But patiently, patiently, with excellence, you continue to teach that class. And one day you find out that little kid I taught pastors a big church or runs a godly company or has made an excellent husband or wife. Patient in excellence. And then he says to patience, add godliness. Become more and more like the Lord. We don't ever become God. He's God and there is but one, and There is none other like him. But oh, what a difference between people who are godly and people who aren't. And it's not just what we say with our lips, it's how we live our lives. All through this message, I keep thinking about a gentleman I encountered at one of the McDonald's restaurants about probably a year and a half ago now. At least it was before COVID. And he wanted to talk and discuss some spiritual things. He recognized me, and then after he told me who he was, I recognized his family connection. But I couldn't hardly talk to him because about every fifth or sixth word was vulgar. I don't mean just a little slang. I mean really, really vulgar. There was not godliness there. Now, he wanted to talk spiritual matters, but there was no godliness. And I talked to him as long as I could take it. And then my patience sort of ran out. And I saw I wasn't getting anywhere with trying to explain to him some spiritual things. And then he says to patience, add brotherly kindness, mercy toward others. You remember John talks about if you see your brother have a need and you have it in your ability to help him and you don't, how can you say you love him? How can you say you love him? Brotherly kindness is extending forgiveness. Brotherly kindness is giving that seven times forgiveness that Jesus talked about there in Luke. Brotherly kindness is sometimes helping somebody with a meal. Brotherly kindness may be mowing somebody's yard. Brotherly kindness can be just picking up the phone and calling someone and saying, thinking about you, praying for you. Love you in Jesus. These days, brotherly kindness may be sending an email or a text. Brotherly kindness can go in so many areas where we, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, extend to our fellow believers and often to those who aren't believers. A special love. Brotherly kindness can even be giving a bigger tip than really was necessary. You know, that extra $2 you put in the tip may be nothing much to you, but you don't know how much you may have blessed some single mom that's trying to make ends meet. And then he says to brotherly kindness, add charity or love. You remember Paul in the 1 Corinthians 13 talks about, now abideth faith, hope, charity or love, but the greatest of these is love. Amen. Growing in our love for Jesus and growing in our love for others. You see, Peter says, look at this. You've been given everything that you need to be a powerful, godly, follow the Lord Jesus Christ. He has infused these into your life. He gave them to you when you were saved and when you were filled with the Spirit. Now, develop them. Develop them. So that you become all that God wants you to be. And I love what he says in verse 8. If these things be in you and abound, that means run over, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Peter says, listen, folks. If you abound in these spiritual graces, if you abound in growing in Christ, you will not be barren nor unfruitful. And most of us that really love the Lord want to be fruitful. We want to know when we come to the end of the life that we've made a difference in others' lives. We want to know that our lives has pleased the Lord. And here he's told us, I've put some things in you, grow in them, and they will enable you to become fruitful, fruitful. We have all we need for a life of godliness. Let's diligently develop those things under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Just as Jesus told those disciples in Luke to develop and use the faith they already had, he's telling us, recognize what you have, develop what you have, acknowledge what you have, and use what you have. What he's given, use it. And then watch him be honored and watch him change the world through us. It's easy to develop a poor me attitude. If I just had more, I could do more. When the Lord says, I've given you everything you need, what are you going to do with it? Friends, God has bestowed upon you blessing beyond blessing, spiritual gift beyond spiritual gift. He offers to you the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He's given you his word full of precious promises. He lives within you. And he says, develop it. Allow me to work in you, and as you diligently seek to grow in the Lord, you will become not barren and unfruitful, but a powerful follower and disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, if you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, these things aren't in you. It's a great promise, but first you have to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And right now, if you've never received Jesus, I encourage you. Acknowledge that Jesus is the Savior, that he died on the cross to take away your sin, that he was buried, that he rose again, and that you want him to be your Lord and Savior. If you'll just pray a prayer like that, Lord Jesus, I acknowledge that I'm a sinner. I acknowledge that you're the risen Savior. And I ask you to come into my heart and life and be my Lord and Savior. And if you'll do that and mean it, he will become your Lord and Savior. And all of these wonderful things will become deposited in your life. If you're a believer, but you've never allowed Jesus Christ to totally fill you with his Spirit, would you do that? Would you pray, Lord, I want all of you that I can have. Fill me with your presence. May the Holy Spirit indwell me like on the day of Pentecost, so that people might see you in me. And then, Christian, would you develop? Would you make a vow today to diligently add all that you need to add to your life to grow as a believer, to become powerful, victorious, overcoming in a troubled world? And when we do that, we give him the glory and the honor and the praise. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount told us, let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify the Father in heaven. Notice it's not glorifying you or me, but glorifying the Father in heaven. And after all, that's our goal, to bring glory to our Lord. Today, let's make a commitment of ourselves to bring glory to our Lord. than the way we live. Oh, like the early disciples, we could say, Lord, increase it. And Jesus saying, take what I've given you. And you diligently add and watch it grow. And as you use it, you'll bring glory to me. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord be gracious unto you. Make his face to shine upon you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.